The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using the promo code SGPN and get yourself a 100% deposit match.
Garnacho, Anthony. Oh, it's Garnacho! It's an excellent save from Fotheringham, but one that got away from Alejandro Garnacho.
Oh,
that would have
been some
goal. Oh, Nana. That's a mistake. Vogel is onto this. And he's put it away. And against the run of play, Sheffield United take the lead through Jaden Vogel after a horrible howler from Nana. Fernandes whips it in. It's admirably defended by Holgate, but Carnacho's onto it. Maguire with a flick. Harry Maguire steps forward when Manchester United needed a rapid response, and their first half dominance finally pays off. United. What a lovely touch from Dallo. Garnacho! Magnificent save from Fotheringham, who's been there quite a few times for Sheffield United. Palmer setting it up here for Osborne! Yeah! Brereton Diaz! It's another tale of the unexpected at Old Trafford, as Sheffield United hit the front again, and you really do not know what to expect from Manchester United these days. Fernandes floating it in. And the penalty has been given, even though it's ended up in the back of the net.
Sainsbury was quite quick to blow, wasn't he? And there was a nudge in there. Maguire and Trusty have it. An awful lot going on.
It's Bruno Fernandes on the hour. Come up the hour, come up the man. Bruno Fernandes. Oh! Trust Bruno Fernandes to come up with something special.
Fotheringham's got absolutely no chance. What a goal that is.
Latching onto this, and Horan! He ends a six-game drought, and not for the first time this season. Manchester United have got there in the end, eventually, just one way or another.
Yeah, 4-2 to Man United. The exact scoreline that I predicted on the last episode of Betting the Obsessive. Don't believe me, go back and listen to it. We're just casually giving out plus 4,000 winners now on the show. As for the more realistic leans, Manchester United and over 2.5 goals cashed. The team total of Man United over 2.5 goals cashed. And the Asian handicap of Man United minus 1.5 cashed. And two of those three plays were given out to lock betting clients. So we did have a one unit winner on Man United and over 2.5 goals and the team total. Unfortunately, they weren't given 4-2 as an official play. But hopefully, based on how I laid it out, somebody did have a sprinkle on that scoreline. If you did, hit me up on X with a DM. I'd be interested to see the betting slip. You are listening to Bet MUFC on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow me on X at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. Sports Gambling Podcast Network are at the SGP, just at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network or at Gambling Podcast. That's at Gambling Podcast. My DMs are open at SGP Soccer, and they're also open at LockBetting X. That's at LockBetting X. On that account, I give my sports betting opinions. I post free play winners like yesterday where I posted up a one unit winner for the NBA playoffs as the 76ers covered against the New York Knicks. That was a one unit winner. My one unit plays in the NBA this season are 21-3. And most significantly on that X account, I post my profit and loss spreadsheets. They add up to 130, soon to be 131 months in a row of transparent and tracked profit. The pin tweet is the P&L from the latest month. If you want to do your research and due diligence, I encourage you to do it. You can scroll down and find all the other spreadsheets, or you can simply find them at one other location, one easy to find location, which is lockbetting.com, the website. That's also where you can sign up for additional plays. But before you sign up, I encourage you to have a look through the spreadsheets. Have a look at how we manage a bankroll. Have a look at the type of bets we do. Have a look at the sports that we bet on. And have a look at the members' comments underneath the spreadsheets on X, verifying the fact we have delivered this profit. 131 months means a decade and 11 additional months. It means we're 1 month away from being able to say we haven't had a single month, a losing month in 11 years. Now, we have losing days. Yeah, we even have losing weeks. We just don't lose any months. We haven't ever lost across that 30-31 day period. We've won every single month for 130 to soon be 131 months in a row. If you have any questions about it, hit me up a DM. My DMs are open, as I said, at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX or at SGP Soccer. And if you did take that 4-2 winner, I want to see the betting slip, because obviously that would be a phenomenal bet to sprinkle on. And I'm very pleased by the way that we handicapped that game. And hopefully we can do it again as we look at the game between Manchester United and Burnley on the show. We're going to listen to Erik ten Hag's thoughts on the game. But as we look ahead to the end of the season, other than the FA Cup final, what can Manchester United realistically do from these remaining games? Well, the goal will be to sort things out at the back, because we cannot continue to concede goals like this and need to score four goals to win games. We need to sort out this back line. We cannot go into the FA Cup final with Harry Maguire and Casemiro as our defenders. We need to either get Martinez back, we need to get Varane back, even Lindelof would be better, but we just cannot go into that game with this backline. And it's very, very concerning that we have to do this and that we have this many injury problems. Obviously, earlier on in the season, we tried Amrabat in defence. That didn't work out either. We do have enough time to get these players back between now and the end of the season. But you just never know with Man United if they're going to suffer more injuries. But at this point, who do we even consider to be the key men at Manchester United? Marcus Rashford isn't really doing anything. Rasmus Højlund just broke a six-game run without scoring against Sheffield United. Garnacho is having flashes of moments, but he isn't putting the ball in the back of the net. His goals have dried up as well. Kobbie Mainoo is having a consistent season, and the star man at the moment is definitely Bruno Fernandes. But like every player at Man United, it seems like players have periodic runs of form. Onana was having a good patch. He was saving a lot of shots because he was just facing so many shots because this defence isn't defending and we're not getting protection from the midfield. And then suddenly he goes back to making a howler. And it was the type of howler that we were concerned that Onana was going to make when we signed him. And the type of howler he was making at the start of the season, he seemed to have ironed those out, and then he goes and does that once again. One of the good things coming out of the Sheffield United game was the fact that we did only face 10 shots, but at the same time, we were only facing Sheffield United. And facing shots has been a problem for Man United. The defence has been a problem for Man United. And these are things that we need to look to improve as we look to prepare for the Man City game and to secure sixth spot. Because if we do secure sixth spot, that takes a lot of pressure off that game, because Man United won't be looking to avoid Europa Conference League football as we approach that cup final if we can stay in sixth position. I believe, looking at the run-ins, if you compare Man United to Newcastle, Man United probably only need to win a couple more games, providing that one of those games is when we play Newcastle at home, because that is looking like a six-pointer. The hardest game we face is the home game against Arsenal. Aside from that, everything should be winnable, including this game this weekend against Burnley. But at the end of the day, we are talking about Manchester United. We are talking about a team who just conceded two goals against Sheffield United and were 2-1 down coming up to the hour mark. So the only thing guaranteed with Manchester United is that nothing is a guarantee. Before we move on to listening to those comments from Erik ten Hag, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. As you guys all know, the NBA playoffs are here, and Underdog Fantasy has a way to make things a lot more interesting during NBA playoff season. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats, like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. You can make your entries all of basketball, or you can mix and match across your other favorite sports, and you can win up to 100 times your money, which is, of course, a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, and these include California, Texas, and Canada, and they just also launched their Champions format, their player versus player format in Florida. Make sure you sign up and make sure to use our promo code SGPN when you do, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy and that promo code SGPN.
Hi, Eric. Quick turnaround for this weekend's match. Are you expecting anyone back for it? Are you expecting to have two regular centre-backs available?
No. So, same squad, but apart from Mason Mount, he will return into the squad.
Obviously, you've had to deal with all manner of issues this season. With certain players like maybe Luke Shaw, Lisandro Martinez and Anthony Martial, can you provide an update on when we're likely to see them again, or if we are going to see them this season?
Yes, I think so. I think we are going to see them in this season. And they returned all three onto the pitch. Next week they have to make the step into team training. And so we think, yeah, they can be available for the last weeks.
They're progressing well.
They progress well, yeah, no.
Eric, what development do you want to see from your side in these remaining matches? What is the target for the progress of the team?
That is especially out of possession stuff. We have to be better organized, we have to be more disciplined, and we have to play in a higher intensity and then keep doing the stuff in possession because I think we make huge progress in this season in possession, in attacking. Attacking transition, we scored so many goals. If you see the difference between first season half and the second season half, it's immense. So really we developed our attacking way of play.
Why do you think out of possession it is taking the team longer to get to where you want them to be this year?
Most important in this moment is the back four. We didn't have a sustainable back four. Every time we have to make switches, there are so many different partnerships in the centre half positions. If we try and swapping the fullbacks, there we have our problems. But also there, if our attacking players have to contribute more and more disciplined, put on more pressure on the ball and matching better the runs.
Obviously, you've had so many changes at centre back, but the way the team plays, the structure that you set with your back four, even though those players are changing round, would you still have expected more established patterns in the way that the team set up?
It's difficult. I know that from my experience. And partnerships are so important. On top football, everything has to be decided in split seconds. So then partnerships, so that you know from each other where to run. So small appointments between each other is so important to have the right connections to be stable.
Can I ask you about Marcus Rashford? Because Marcus obviously hasn't played in midweek. Doesn't sound like he's going to play tomorrow. But in terms of his season and the criticism that he's been facing, he's taken to social media overnight to say enough is enough. How much sympathy do you have for Marcus at the moment?
I have a lot of sympathy for Rashi, of course. And so last year, he had a brilliant season. I think the best season in his career. He scored 30 goals, so there you see where he's capable of. And this season, he didn't give the performances, and then people are very critical, and I think we have to back him. And everyone should back him and push him to get back to the levels he was last year.
The fans will say they pay the money, they've got every right to criticise, but is there a line that can't be crossed?
I think he needs support, and we all know where he's capable of, so we all have to support, but also to push him, and because he can do better than he's doing this year, and we have saw last year where he was really brilliant.
Vincent Kompany enjoyed coming to Old Trafford as a City player. I think he's a manager that you've come across in previous years. He talked to us yesterday. What are you expecting from a Vincent Kompany team tomorrow?
They play high-intensity football. And they changed a little bit their approach in the season. I think they are more now in survival mode. And they do pretty well. You can see the development. Last couple of games, they get good results. They are hard to beat. And all the compliments to Vincent and his staff.
Your players against Sheffield United went behind twice. Is that a mental thing? Are your players in danger of going out onto the pitch thinking it's only Sheffield United, it's only Burnley?
No, but I think we can't afford this to any opponent with the team we have available. We have to be creative to put a line out and in the position where we are. We have to take every opponent with 100% focus. We can't allow do a little bit less.
Eric, just in terms of Marcus Rashford's tweet, he obviously said criticism has crossed the line and gone into abuse. I know there were some boos for Anthony as well when he came off on Wednesday night. How do your players win the fans over right now? Can that only be done on the field?
I think the fans are behind us always. And when we are entering Old Trafford, when I heard the reception, it was especially when it was louder than I have heard. When I also away, always supportive and very backing the team. And I think there is a good connection between the team and the fans.
And when you arrived here, you obviously talked about it's your responsibility to set the standards, raise the standards if required. Has that proved more difficult than you expected?
No, but so we are in a position and in a season with so many setbacks, and when you don't have the players available, we can't put the performance and the levels you target, and that is the truth. And I think many fans also they understand this, that this is the truth. We can do better, but still. Also, last year we were quite successful and we were in a good momentum. This year we are less successful, but we are again in the final. And that's a good performance, and that's what we want to be in a position to win silverware.
So before we actually move on to the Burnley game, I wanted to talk about this Marcus Rashford tweet where he was complaining about the criticism that he's faced. I don't understand how Marcus Rashford thinks that he should be exempt from this criticism. Yes, it might have crossed over to abuse, but you have to take some responsibility for yourself and the way that you've performed this season. I cannot understand how Marcus Rashford is playing the victim. There is absolutely no sense of accountability whatsoever in Marcus Rashford's statement. He was the one who went and partied in Belfast. He is the one who has massively underperformed this season. He's the one who can be seen not running and not pressing in multiple videos that have been released on social media. And he's also the highest paid player at the club, with great wages come great responsibility. And he is now a senior player. He's no longer this youth player. This was something that Jesse Lingard got away with for a number of years because he behaved like an immature little boy. We treated him and associated him alongside our youth players. But this was almost solely based on Lingard's behaviour and the fact that he was a late bloomer and came into the first team quite late in his mid-20s. But he wasn't actually a youngster. And Marcus Rashford isn't a youngster now. In fact, he's closer to 30 than he is to 20 at this point. And he's massively underachieved most seasons. Most of Marcus Rashford's seasons have been underachievements based on what we've seen that this player can do. So Rashford has to take some responsibility. He cannot play the victim. He cannot go crying on social media. Yeah, you can say that you went out there and used your social media to feed the kids and do good, but we see through that, Marcus Rashford. We see that that was a political move. We see how you really feel about the kids every single week when you walk into the stadium and don't acknowledge any of the children that come to watch you play, any of the real Manchester United supporters. We see how you play for the badge. During the moments of crisis, we need the senior players to rise up and play for the badge. And Marcus Rashford is continually seen jogging around and not working hard and not earning his money. And there's multiple videos. There's video after video after video after video. And like I said, we didn't tell this guy to go out partying in Belfast. He brought that all upon himself. So, yes, some of the comments are going to be abusive. But as I said, with great wages come great responsibility. And that simply is just part of the game. When you're paid that much, you need to be able to deal with it. If somebody was paying me that much, I'd be able to deal with that abuse. No problem whatsoever. In fact, I deal with idiots doing this show. And all I do is win people money on a weekly basis. And I'm not paid anywhere near what Marcus Rashford earns per week. Not even 1/100th of what Marcus Rashford earns per week. So it's absolutely ridiculous that he's going to go on social media crying and making himself out to be the victim when that simply isn't the case. So let's now move on to the Burnley game. Before we do that, let me tell you guys about Football Contest Proxy. If you're thinking of entering the Circa Million Survivor or Circa Millions contest, but don't live in Nevada, it's no problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win those millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then simply just submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com and use that promo code SGP to get yourself $50 off. So let's have a look at the game between Man United and Burnley, which is probably a more important game for Burnley. Now, Man United absolutely don't want to be playing in the Europa Conference League next season, but that will just be down to embarrassment. The financial difference between playing in the Premier League and the Champions League is absolutely massive, and it will mean the world to the Burnley players to actually stay in the Premier League. So survival is probably more important than Man United avoiding some humiliation. But at this point, this club have experienced so much humiliation, it probably won't make any difference. We never expected to be playing in the Europa League when Sir Alex Ferguson was the manager. And to suddenly play in the Europa Conference League probably wouldn't be as big of a deal. Probably would just be something that we get used to and would probably be a good chance to actually win a trophy. Although I very, very much doubt Erik ten Hag would be the manager if we dropped down to the Europa Conference League. Burnley have got themselves into a position where survival could be realistic. They're now just 3 points away from Nottingham Forest. Forest and Luton aren't really picking up any points, whilst Burnley are. They actually have won two of their last six and have actually only lost one of the last six. Compare that to Luton, who have lost four of their last six, whilst Nottingham Forest have lost two of their last six, but have only won one of their last six. So Burnley are definitely the team who are in better form and looking like they could potentially get out of this, whilst Luton are closer than Nottingham Forest. They both face difficult tasks this weekend. Luton travel to Wolves, and Nottingham Forest host Manchester City. So you don't expect them to get anything there. So there is an opportunity for both Luton and Burnley to get out of this. But Burnley won't be getting out of this weekend. They won't be leapfrogging Forest this weekend because the goal difference is like an extra point, because Forest goal difference is just minus 18, while Burnley are minus 32 because they have experienced some whoopings this season. They travel to Old Trafford tomorrow as the 17-4 underdogs. It's 4-1 on the draw, and Manchester United are the 4-7 favourites. The only thing I'm 100% sure about here is that Burnley will be able to come to Old Trafford and score a goal. And with that said, BTTS is obviously an automatic go-to, but the way Manchester United have played at the moment, you're not going to get too much value here on this selection. BTTS is available at the price of 1-2 minus 200, while over 2.5 goals is even shorter at the price of 4-9. So we're looking here at the over 3.5 goals. So do we think that we have enough data here to actually take a selection on over 3.5 goals? Historically, I've avoided that play. I've often talked about being scared to take big overs. Sometimes the data is there, but I always say to people that both teams are aware that the other two teams can score. If you're taking a team, for example, like Bayer Leverkusen, and they're coming up against Bayern Munich, that game actually went under this season, and it wasn't this shootout that people were expecting. In fact, Bayer Leverkusen won that game with a clean sheet because both of the two teams were wary of what each other were doing. That's what good teams can do. If you are high-scoring teams, but you do come up against each other, sometimes you can cancel each other out. We've seen that in both games between Man City and Liverpool this season. In this instance, you have two teams that can attack, but have shown that both of them can't defend. So even if Man United were wary of Burnley in an attacking sense, and Burnley were aware of Man United in an attacking sense, they couldn't do anything to stop it. Man United aren't necessarily conceding goals to top attacking teams either. Man United are just conceding goals to everybody. And as I said when we were talking earlier on in the show about my main concern about the cup final, what Man United need to improve on, they need to massively improve defensively. We cannot have individual mistakes from Onana. We cannot go into the cup final with a defensive pairing of Maguire and Casemiro like we probably are tomorrow. So with that said, there isn't really any reason to shy away from taking over 3.5 goals, especially when it's offered to us here at plus money at 11-10 plus 110. Five of Man United's last seven goals have gone over 3.5 goals, and repeat seems likely when they face a Burnley team that has actually scored in six of their last seven and are very likely to make a contribution here in this game. Six of Burnley's last eight away games in the Premier League have ended with BTTS as a winning bet, while Man United have conceded 13 goals in their last five league away games alone, with five of Man United's last seven Premier League games going over 3.5 goals, as I mentioned. So we're going to take a lean here on over 3.5 goals at the price of 11-10. I'm confident that Burnley will make a contribution towards the scoring. This is a game that I do expect Manchester United to win. Yes, Burnley are the more desperate, but Man United should still have ambition. And if Man United have ambition and Burnley have ambition, and the game's being played at Old Trafford, Man United should be walking away with the 3 points. We want to finish sixth in the Premier League. We want to win this game and we want to win the game against Newcastle, and we should be able to pick up odds and ends between now and the end of the season to make sure that we do finish in sixth position, to put less pressure on us going into the FA Cup final against Man United, because we don't want that to be a game where we're playing to avoid being in the Europa Conference League and trying to qualify for the Europa League via winning that cup. So once again, your lean here for this edition of BetMUFC is to take the over 3.5 goals in the game against Burnley at the price of 11-10 plus 110. That's it for me and this edition of BetMUFC. Good luck with all of your bets as always, guys, and thanks for listening.